This is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, your host and reporter with SB Live. Nicola Simpson, Garfield pitcher and Tennessee commit, joins later on. A fun interview then. She's a really impressive athlete and a person, so be sure and stick around for that. But with me now are two more members of our SB Live Washington team. First, he's the host of the ISO podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. He's SB Live's preeminent basketball mind. He's Dan Dickow. And also here, the prodigal son of Tacoma. He's gearing up for a landmark day this week as we record this on Tuesday. Just go ahead and do me a favor. As you're listening to this, open up the Twitter app, tweet at Many Hats Millis, and wish him a happy 50th birthday, would you?
Hey, just, happy birthday.
Just a note to the listeners, Todd's birthday is Wednesday. Todd, I couldn't start out this podcast any other way. How you feeling this week?
Well, now, I guess me and our wonderful owner, I think we're the only two guys in our 50s, right, in the whole company? And Barb, so the three of us. I think we're just all going to get a drink together and celebrate what it's like to be in our yesteryear, you know.
There you go. There you go. You got Todd, you got any plans, any special plans for the birthday?
Yeah, I'm not visiting any hills because I don't need to go over them. No, I'm having a nice family dinner.
Right on. Right on. Dan, how you doing? How you been?
Things are good. Settled down a little bit from the college basketball season. Now it's shifting my focus to back to just not just the ISO for SB Live, but also kind of working on some player lists for the state of Washington. So high school coaches, parents, athletic directors, if you're listening, feel free to send on any names of players that I need to consider for any of our class lists or positional breakdown lists, because I'm starting to work on those for the state of Washington as well as a little bit for the state of Oregon. So, yep, just back into the swing of things with SB Live. And the nice thing is the weather is definitely changing here in the Northwest.
Oh, man, there's no question. Sitting out here, not a cloud in the sky down in sunny Portland. Todd, were you going to say something?
Yes. He mentioned weather and I big smile, you know, I mean, finally consistent golf, man. I know you've been, when was the last time you played golf, Dan Dickow?
Ooh, it would have been like last September. It's been a while. Kids took the clubs out in our backyard and hit some balls, last night and today, but I haven't gotten my clubs out of storage yet and started hitting it around.
Right on. Well, a lot of that to come, no doubt. But before we get into our interview, we're going to dive into some headlines. It's been a busy week as sports seasons are kind of all over the place across this state. Todd, you and I are gearing up to cover what is, you know, the only culminating event of this high school football season in Washington, which is the Metro League title this week. They had a 4-team playoff. Seattle Prep and O'Day are the last one standing. It's Friday at Memorial Stadium at 7 p.m. And in the shadow of the Space Needle, you and I will be there, but around the state, here are some topics that are impacting sports. So Governor Jay Inslee announced three counties are sliding back to phase 2 of the state's reopening plan because they did not meet the cases and hospitalizations per 100,000 benchmarks. That's going to be reassessed in 3 weeks, but it puts sports that the DOH designates high risk, like basketball, wrestling, cheer, on notice. A lot of, at least the leagues in the three counties, Whitman County, Cowlitz County, and Pierce County, your neck of the woods, Todd. The leagues in those counties are still competing in the three league seasons. And so what it means is, you know, those high risk sports that are in that very last season, they're sitting here kind of with this backpedal with no real path forward, playing the waiting game again. What are you guys hearing, Todd? This is being felt, from my understanding, by basketball coaches who don't know if they'll even be able to start on May 3rd or whenever the WI season is. Todd, first, what have you heard in the wake of this news that, you know, we probably saw coming based on trends?
Not surprised, honestly. I think you talk to most basketball coaches, they feel like they've been through the ringer as much as any sports faction, high school sports faction there is. I mean, they were supposed to go first. They get pushed to season 3. there's pessimism. Oh my gosh, we're in phase three. We're in a play. I don't think anybody's surprised. I think the smart basketball coach, and I talked to a couple coaches who play and who are expected to play Pierce County teams that have contingency plans. But they're going to play teams in their own county, even though they're on their own league early on, hoping that Pierce County, when it's reevaluated on May 3rd, gets to go back to phase three, and then we don't really have to talk about it. But I mean, the damage is going to be done. It's going to squish all the prep time. You know, even if these three counties do get moved back to phase three, and there's no guarantee that's going to happen, it's just going to be a mad race to just get the season started, and who knows after that. I mean, and there's no guarantee that, I mean, we could have more counties on May 3rd come back. I hope that doesn't happen, but again, most of the coaches, it's like talking to a bunch of Eeyores, and I don't blame them. I would be in a little bit of a funk too, but hoping May 3rd, you know, these three counties will go back to phase three, and we don't have to talk about this anymore.
It's a test of fortitude, no doubt. Dan, if you're a coach in any of these three counties, what's your message to your group with, you know, again, in a position where there's a little bit of an uncertain future?
Wow, that's a tough one. What would the message be? Things are out of our control so many times in life. This is one of those times. You've got to continue to just kind of keep a positive outlook, a positive approach, and handle what you can control. And the biggest part of that is usually your attitude and your approach and your work ethic. So just keep yourself prepared for when we get the go-ahead that we're ready to go. Now, that being said, that has probably been the message now for about 10 months. And for young people, there's only so many times you can hear the same message over and over and over again. I mean, I've got kids, and I say the same message to my kids all the time. Doesn't always sink in. You know, same thing with these coaches. They're probably preaching the same message of preparation and accountability and work ethic and positive outlook over and over again. And they're right on the goal line about to get to do what they want to do, and then it gets pulled out from underneath them again. I wish there was a more clear or definite message to be able to provide these kids, other than, you know, the challenges that they have been through. I don't wish upon, you know, anybody, especially getting so close to being able to play the sports that they love. I don't agree with a lot of the metrics that are being used or the benchmarks of how they're allowing or not allowing games to happen or practices. Because if you look at it with the basketball, I guarantee you that kids in Pierce, Cowlitz, Whitman, and all these counties, I guarantee you they've been to other states in these last few months playing basketball. Guaranteed. Yet they can't play in a structured environment in their own counties. I'm getting tired of it. It's frustrating as an athletic fan. It's frustrating as an athletic parent. But I mean, I guess with everything that is what it is, you just got to keep preaching, having a great attitude and a kind of a stick-to-itiveness for these kids.
I can certainly understand that frustration. It's one that's, you know, I think you're speaking for a lot of people there. There's an interesting op-ed that the executive director of the NFHS put out last week. That's the governing body that oversees the high school state associations around the country, that essentially said, hey, look, you know, it's unfortunate that youth sports are getting the blame in some of these upticks around the country, because as we've returned to the field across all our states, you know, we've returned under pretty strict rules and have kept COVID to a minimum, and that, you know, the NFHS considers this return to play around the country, although it's been staggered depending on what state you're in, as a success. You know, definitely a good perspective to understand, and something that, you know, the powers that be in Washington are having to look at and continuing to preach. So I'll link that in the show notes, and as well as more info on this slide back in these three counties, if you want to learn more. But the final headline we're going to talk about here is a piece of really tragic news. On Saturday, Colville senior Dale Martin was taken off life support more than a week after he suffered a brain injury in a football game against Deer Park. The Colville community came together and over the weekend as he was taken off life support, and this is something that has not only reverberated across that community, but lots of messages of love and support, prayers have poured out from all corners of the state. And Greg Mace, the head football coach over there, posted this the other day in response that I thought was really powerful. He said, and this is just a snippet, "Football coaches always speak about family and brotherhood, and rightfully so. Great teams and programs have deep individual relationships with teammates, coaches, and extended families. The bonds become deeper over time and extend long after players move on through graduation. It is a community within a community. One of the greatest joys of being a coach is witnessing your former players grow to be young men, dependable husbands, and have families of their own. This is why my heart is broken." And it really strikes to the core of why high school sports are important, why they are what they are. And I thought Taylor Newquist of the Statesman Examiner in Colville wrote a story that really painted the picture of how the community has come together and mourned a life taken far too soon. I've linked that in the show notes as well. But did you guys see this this news? And Todd, what are your takeaways from just a really tragic piece of news?
Well, number one, Greg Mace, longtime coordinator, took over as the head coach this year. One of the best guys you're ever going to talk to about football. He has a really young team. He really likes the outlook of this team over the next few years. This is one of his seniors, one of his guys setting the example. His starting running back, a two-way starter, he plays on the defensive line. Knowing how Greg looks at his football team, at his community, and I have not talked to him since this happened, but I've talked to him a number of times about other issues and other players. I can't imagine what he is going through as the guy that's guiding these young men, to watch one of his seniors fall like that. And to kind of give some context here, he took a hit, I think, in the third quarter of a game against Deer Park, and got hit pretty hard, tried to get up, and didn't feel very good, and then fell back down. Sounds like it took a while to get some medical aid there, which I'm not a doctor. I don't know how that impacted things, but, and then obviously we know what happened. It's one of those stories that every football coach, every football parent, every sports writer, every parent, every relative fears, can relate to, can cry over. It's just a sad story all the way around. I can't remember the last time that we talked about a student of this magnitude, a football player of this magnitude. I mean, this is an all-league type player, dying on the football field.
Yeah, I was following the story, and my heart absolutely goes out to that family and that team and that school district and his friends. Football is kind of one of those weird sports where there is such physical contact that it brings in the very, very, very slight possibility for these kind of things to happen. And unfortunately, when it does happen and it's close, quote unquote, close to home, like it is here in the state of Washington, it seems even more tragic. Not that it wouldn't be tragic if it were in any other part of the country. But it's really sad and disappointing to see. And you just pray that the people close to him, his family and his program are getting the support maybe that they need, but it is definitely sad to see.
Our thoughts are with the Colville community, that school, that program, head coach Greg Mace, and of course the family of Dale Martin. So switching gears, if you go to the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington or the SB Live Sports app, you'll see a preseason All-State softball list. One of the names on that list is Nicola Simpson, Garfield pitcher, 2019 state champ, and Tennessee signee. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Simpson joins us. It's a great conversation and previewing a softball season that's just about to get going across this state. So stick with us. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. All right, welcome back. Andy Bueller here. Todd Millis is with me, and joining us, Garfield pitcher, also plays a little first base, signed with Tennessee, excited to have her on the pod, Nicola Simpson. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm really excited about this guest, Andy. You have to understand that 2019 state championship run by Garfield was one of the best stories I've had a chance to witness and cover in 25 years. I don't know if you feel the same way, Nicola, but just looking back at it, but it was a phenomenal run with a interesting group, kind of a melting pot. I was explaining this to Andy before you came on, kind of a melting pot type mix of players, different levels of experience. And when you look back at that, what stands out about 2019 and just trying to get a team together to go make a run for a state championship?
Right. No, so many things. And I think what's unique about Garfield is, I mean, you see a lot of like Bonnie Lake, and you see all these teams win state, and they have the majority of their players playing all year round. And we did not. I think we had maybe four players that played all year round. And so if you think about that and looking back, I'm like, wow, like, it's incredible. And just, I'm so grateful to be a part of it. And just like the sisterhood we had, it's hard to explain. But it really was like we genuinely cared about each other, and so many different backgrounds and kind of experiences of what softball was. But we really tied that together. And obviously, it wasn't a secret that we said from day one, we're here to win state, and going after that and doing it was, you know, what we tried to do. So
you guys are the only Seattle Public Schools team to win that tournament, and your program had only won one game at state up to, I think, what was it? The first time was a year before that year. You say that you guys set that goal from the outset, from the jump. When did you feel like, and you genuinely realized that, okay, you know, we wanted to do this, but I think we actually might be able to.
Right. No, and that's a great question, because early on, I think people were a little like scared to be like, yeah, we want to get state, right? It's like this big daunting title, and it's like, okay, game by game. But we had this after practice meeting, and our coach Ken was like, what are we here for? What's the ultimate goal? And no one really said it. And he's like, aren't we here to win state? And so that's when I finally think we got more comfortable with it. And it's like, yeah, like that's what we're here to do. And after that, I mean, the rest is kind of history.
You know, your dad has not been shy about sharing the story of some of the trials and tribulations that your team had to overcome. And I know he's told the story a number of times about you guys, your team being at practice and having to take cover because all of a sudden you hear guns going off or shooting, you know, bullets, you know, in the background. What was that like? You're a sophomore. I mean, you're just there to play softball, and all of a sudden you have to deal with some real life circumstances.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, it's surreal to say the least, just because, I mean, you hear about it and you think maybe it's never going to happen to me, right? And so I'd say it was interesting to see how some of the girls were so used to it, right? I mean, we had this one case where it turned out to be a firework, and one of my teammates knew exactly what firework it was. And I was just like, wow, you know? So I think it's normalized, and I'm sure that won't be the last, but, you know, at least we have a plan in place and everything to for those instances. And I definitely wouldn't say that's a reason not to go to Garfield. I mean, it's such an amazing school and athletic programs, right? And so I think that alone is enough of a reason to stay there.
Well, I guess, you know, your sister, you and your sister kind of lead the charge in 2019. She goes off to San Diego, you know, all of a sudden it's kind of your turn. And here we are, almost 2 years later, and you haven't even taken the mound for a high school game since then. What's the frustration level surrounding that, given what's going on in the world? And I know you guys are going to start here in a couple of weeks, but it's just been kind of weird. I imagine you probably, hey, I got two more years to go to win another state championship or lead my school to another state championship, but that's just not going to be the case.
Right, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing for me is just keeping things in perspective, right? It's like, yes, like everyone wants a high school season and games and everything, but it's like, look, like there's bigger problems in the world, and recognizing that and just being, I think it's led everyone to be more grateful for every moment we're playing, right? It's like, oh, I get to go to the field today and do this. Like this is, we've seen how quick it was taken away. And so that new perspective has been pretty big for me.
Let's rewind a little bit. You grew up in multiple sports, not just softball. What was the earliest sport you were exposed to, and what are some of the different ways that you got active as a kid?
Yeah, I did soccer and basketball, and I quit those. It was too much running. I was like, I am not about this life. But so I chose softball, and I also did like swimming and everything. I mean, you know, just a regular kid doing a few different sports, getting my feet wet and see what fit. But I just remember I was so mad when our little league softball games would get canceled. And I was just like, you know, beside myself. And so at that point, then I was like, you know, I want to pursue this. And I have to give my sister Kaya credit, because I copy everything she does. And so she got into select and I followed right behind her. So no shocker there.
Did you guys always play together growing up?
Yes, on our little league teams, but because we're 2 years apart, that's enough to be different levels and select. And so at that point, you know, we did different, and because we play the same positions, it's probably better that, you know, we're not always competing for the same spot just because we make everything so competitive. So, yeah.
Was there ever any doubt that you guys were going to play the same position, or were you always like, you know, Kaya's there, I want to follow?
No, exactly. And I think part of me was like, I want to outdo her and like, you know, like one up my sister. And so that was a little bit of it. Right. But she sets such a good example that, you know, there's nothing really that about her that I didn't want to be.
Given your parents' vast experience in volleyball, they both played in college. How did volleyball not stick more with you two?
That is a great question. My sister played in middle school, and it was kind of a crapshoot, just that young. And, you know, and so I've actually never played in my life. And I think after I kind of got more intense with softball and it became such a big thing in our family, it was like, I can't switch now. Right. And I love it so much that there's no reason to even explore that option. And so, yeah, I kind of fell off the table. Sucks for them, but they've learned to love softball. So
I bet they've really dove into being softball parents.
Oh, absolutely. They get like one Christmas, we got my mom catching gear for her Christmas present. So she can sit on that bucket and catch us. But
so your family is from Canada. You have Canadian roots. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Both my parents are from Canada. So my sister and I have dual citizenship. And so the Canadian junior national team is definitely something that, you know, with COVID, it's hard to go and, you know, have them see me and everything. But if that opens up, that's definitely going to be something to look into and an option. And yeah, it's just nice to allow a little more flexibility.
How much did you go back to Canada growing up?
Normally we went once or twice a year just to see family and did like a week long trip. And yeah, it's just nice to get out of the country and, you know, have a little fun and in Canada. What's not to love about Canada?
Yeah.
Do you like Thousand Island dressing? Now, I didn't know this until your father said you, a lot of your family hails from the Thousand Island, what is it, Valley or something, a part of Ontario. So if you grow up there or you have family there, do you have to like Thousand Island dressing on your salad? I mean, what?
And then, honestly, we haven't discussed that a lot, but, I would say, I mean, I don't mind it. Right. I definitely should know more about my Canadian roots than I do. I will say that. I mean, I know like where we visit and everything, but I should probably not embarrass my dad and mom by not knowing. But yeah.
Well, just don't put ranch on your salad, okay? Ranch right. dressing, okay? I don't want you to insult your parents like that, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So just between us, I love a Thousand Islands dressing.
Okay. All right. Me too.
That is cool, though. I mean, the prospect of playing for, you know, a country that you have ties to and playing and representing that country. At what age did you realize that might be a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I went to like an open tryout that they had, like a combine. I want to say it was eighth grade, and that did not go too hot for me at all. I was like the youngest. They had to like okay me to get in because, you know, you weren't supposed to be there that young. And it was a little eye-opening, and I just didn't show. I was so nervous that I just, you know, psyched myself out as a young little thing. And so I think from there, it's like, okay, like this is something to work for. You know, it may not work out, but just keeping it as a possibility and working hard for that moment if it does come.
Your dad says it sounds like you might major in sports psychology once you get to Tennessee. You're really big on the mental side of it, read a lot of books, videos. How did that come about? Who do you follow? Whose philosophy do you really like? Can you kind of expand on that a little bit, Nicola?
Yeah, for sure. I would say that kind of sparked an interest for me. I used to pitch with Danielle Laurie, who I don't know if you guys are familiar, but she was a national championship Canadian Olympic team, just absolutely insane athlete. And she's so mentally strong. And I think anyone that, you know, works with her, the UW coaches will tell you that. And so that kind of inspired me to explore it more, right? Because it's such a shame to me that when you're younger and stuff, coaches don't really tell you anything about it, even though especially in softball, it's such a big part of the game. And so I think from there, I kind of talked more about, you know, visualization and implementing that into my daily routines. And just really, I just grew a love for like reading books on sports psychology. And I'm really big into like anything that I can do to get that edge up on competition, I'll do. That was big for me. And one of my favorite books is Reach for the Summit by Pat Summitt, who was the Tennessee women's basketball legend. And so I think I'd recommend that one to anyone. I'd say another thing is like meditation has really been a big part for me, just because trying to be present in the moment and like calm yourself down is obviously very applicable in any sport for that matter, but on the rubber as well.
We're talking about mindfulness. We're talking about sports psychology. I want to change the tune a little bit and talk about something a little bit more materialistic, which is your shoe collection. You are an avid collector of Nikes, from what we understand. Is that right?
Yes, no, for sure. And I'd say COVID kind of started that. I'm not going to lie. I had awful shoe game until then. I mean, the basketball guys at Garfield would be like, what are you wearing? And so, so now I've upped my game.
What sparked that change for you? How did you find a love for shoes?
That is, I'd say I have to hand it to a few of the basketball guys at Garfield and a few of the football, just because, I don't know. And I think once you get into it, it's like it's a little addicting, right? Like, it's like, oh, I want that pair. So, I'd say the beginning of COVID.
Is there any one Garfield basketball player or football player that you want to shout out that gave you the nudge?
There's a few of them. I'm not going to shout out anyone. I'd say, I mean, I was good with, I'm not going to shout out anyone.
What's your favorite pair of shoes? What's the pair that you relish to purchase the most?
Oh, that I'm trying to get the Dunk Low. They're like lemon drop is the colorway, and that's coming out in April. So we'll see. I'll keep you guys updated if I get those or not. It's like really hard to get, but I would say ones that I have a few like Dunk Highs, which are I like, and then I had like early access to the 11 Jubilees back in like November. So, you know, slight flex there.
Yeah. Wow. No kidding. I got to say, like, you know, with Tennessee's colors, there's a lot of potential for getting a fit off.
Yes. No, you cannot miss it. Yeah, that's for sure. I just think of that Blindside movie. You guys have probably seen it, where she's like that gaudy Tennessee orange. And I'm like, it's true, but you know, you grow to love it.
Oh, absolutely. It's like the most recognizable orange in sports.
Yes, no doubt. I like your hat, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, little matching.
For the listeners, the audio medium, wearing an orange hat, not too dissimilar from the Tennessee
with Vols Nike color. On it. Yes, yes, with Nike on right. it. Well, hey, we gotta ask her though. I mean, if it's a collection, we gotta ask her how many pairs are we talking about, and how are you paying? I mean, where does this? How are you paying for all this? Is this yeah. dad bringing out the checkbook for you, or you got a job, or how are you doing this?
He did that for maybe like the first two pairs for Christmas, whatnot, and then I do pitching lessons for like little girls and hitting lessons and softball clinics and stuff like that. And so it's really fun. I mean, side note, just like I think seeing those little girls and how excited they get to just play the game and everything, it's so refreshing and it just gets me really excited and just trying to be a role model as best as I can for them. But so I pay for them with that money and, you know, maybe Christmas or whatnot.
Presentation wise, are they okay? Yeah, I guess.
How many? Oh, I have not counted. So from COVID, right? So I know like if like Tari or someone's listening to this, they're going to be like, that's a bad collection. But I'd say like 20, over 20 right now. But like, bear with me because, you know, I'm new. So yeah, because I go to, you know, some basketball guys have literally up to their like ceilings and in their closets and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like yours is a little more in check.
Yeah, I'm not as psycho yet. We're getting there. And you got to remember, I'm like trying to already like figure out which pairs to bring to Tennessee. So I'm trying to not like, you know, make that as hard of a decision, you could say.
Might have to bring a U-Haul and just drive, just hit the open road. Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to bring them without the boxes. So that's a whole nother discussion to have with my parents.
Yeah. So as we record this, you guys start practice next week for your senior softball season. It's a condensed season, but in the Metro League, you guys a little bit longer than some leagues around the state. How are you approaching this season, and what do you hope to accomplish in these last few couple months?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we definitely have a different focus than, say, our 2019 year, just it being a short season. And our focus is really on having fun, having a good time competing while we're at it. I don't know, to tell you the truth, all the people that are coming out. I know last year we struggled to even field a team, which is, it's baffling. Like, we win state and can't even get enough people out for a team, barely. And it just goes to show you how much of a basketball school Garfield is. So we're trying to change that and try to get more, you know, people interested in softball and even just like athletes that, you know, that already gives you such a leg up than, say, just a regular person that doesn't have that body awareness.
Trying to change the team culture and program culture. One way to do that is win a state title. So,
right. Yes.
Well, and you get to end your senior year with your dad in the dugout. I mean, that's you know, as if people don't know, Ken Simpson is her father. He's been Garfield coach, also the coach with the Lady Hawks, your club team. But just to get to finish up your high school career with your dad in the dugout, how much does that mean to you?
It's fun. I would say at first I was like, oh gosh, my dad's going to be my coach in high school, you know, like, but over the years, I think it's really fun and it's going to be weird, like not playing for him. Just because I don't know. I mean, he gets on me, right? Like, it's not like, it's like, oh, Nicola, my daughter, you know? And so I think if anything, he doesn't show favoritism. So it's like the other way, but yeah, it's really fun. And especially having my sister in there originally was just really, really an irreplaceable time, to say the least.
Something that I imagine that, you know, going forward, once you're in college and beyond, you'll look back on fondly and never forget.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Nicola, thank you so much for taking the time today. It was great to talk with you.
Yes, you as well. Thank you for having me.
She's Nicola Simpson. She's a Garfield pitcher, senior, getting ready for her senior season. So, Nicola, thank you for joining the SB Live Washington podcast.
Of course. Thank you so much. All the best to you guys.
All right, it's time for our one, for our only segment of the show. It's called Past and Present. It's pretty cut and dry. Each of us shouts out one current and one former Washington High School standout who caught our attention over the last week. Todd kicked us off last week. Dan, what do we think? Do we want to do the honors this time?
Sure, I can do that. I think for present, I'm going to stay with my choice from last week. Mount Spokane's kicker, I apologize. I'm drawing a blank on his name off the top of my head. I went to the game last week. He kicked another 55-yard field goal. And, I mean, it's one of those things that you don't see a lot of 55-yard field goals in the NFL or college, let alone the high school game. So now it's back-to-back weeks, 55-yarders. So that was impressive. A throwback to the past. I've got two names. I could add three if we're going to kind of throw in Oregon roots as well. So, you know what, let's go three names, Pacific Northwest roots. University of Arizona has a dumpster fire going right now with their search for a new head coach. First off, I don't know why, if you're going to fire Sean Miller, why do you take a month to fire him? And then you even wait longer than other programs had coaches get fired or decide to leave for other jobs. So now you don't get the pick of the litter in the coaching ranks for what's been traditionally a really good program. So that dumpster fire of a process to find a new coach really comes full circle back to my past for the Northwest guys. And there's three guys at the head of the list. We'll start with Jason Terry from Seattle, Franklin High School, number of state tournaments, titles there. He interviewed, so he's a finalist. Damon Stoudemire may be one of the two front runners. He's a Portland guy, so we'll throw him in as a Northwest product. But then Kelso High School grad, I believe Tommy Lloyd was class of 93, if I'm not mistaken. He is also a front runner, a finalist for that job. He's been a Gonzaga assistant for the last 20 years. So I figured I would throw those guys in as my past link to Washington High School sports.
Love that. Those are great. Those are some great picks, and gotta love the Mount Spokane shout out again. He was Ethan. I think it's Mikulski was in our top 10 plays of the week for the second week in a row. And as a kicker, you gotta be pretty impressive to be cracking top 10. So
every single kickoff was a touchback, and they weren't even close. I mean, they were sailing out of the end zone. Even the kid definitely has a leg, that's for sure.
No question. All right, Todd, you're the batter.
Yeah. Well, I've got two past guys. I wanted to shout out to Brian Holsinger. He was hired as the new Montana women's basketball coach. He was on Scott Rook's staff at Oregon State. We know that's where Talia von Uhlhofen was last here, came into that program and sparked them here this past winter. Good for Brian. He's a Federal Way grad, obviously learned from one of the best, and now he gets his own D1 program to manage. So congratulations to Brian. And another guy, it's going to seem kind of like a weird moment to kind of give him a shout out, but Demetrius Johnson, they call him Mighty Mouse in the mixed martial arts world. I got to cover him a lot in wrestling when he was at Washington High School. Got to go up to his camp when he was the UFC flyweight champ, and fought for a one championship last week, and actually suffered his first knockout as a professional fighter. And I remember going up to his camp and talking to him, because I his last wrestling moment was getting pinned in the state semifinals by a ninth grader when he was undefeated. And then I remember asking him about that, because that was the last time I'd seen him. And he goes, you know, we're all going to go down that road. We're all going to get knocked out. We're all going to get pinned. I'm going to have my time. It just isn't my time. Well, his time was last week. But I just like his outlook about the fight game, which can be kind of a brutal business. But he has a good head on his shoulders. Just want to wish him good luck moving forward. And then present, Ryan McKenna. I mean, what can you say about what he's done for Gonzaga Prep's football team? The junior quarterback, you know, great game for the 4A GSA or GSL championship Friday night against a good Central Valley team. Wasn't having his best game for 3.5 quarters, but kind of answered the bell on those last two drives with a 51-yard touchdown run and a short touchdown run to put CV away. He's just a dynamic competitor, strong, slippery, and will certainly be mentioned, as will the Bullpups as one of the best players and teams heading into the fall of 2021.
Absolutely. And I should mention our photographer Eric Smith, who shot photos of that game. You can find all those on the site. Some great shots in there. One of which is Ryan McKenna in the middle of a backflip celebrating one of those touchdowns. I know his dad, head coach Dave McKenna, didn't love that, but hey, it's one of those things, you know, if you're going to do a backflip as a celebration, you better stick it, and he stuck it. So at the end of the day, good for Ryan. Friend of the podcast, former guest on this podcast from a couple weeks ago. So appreciate those, Todd. To round it out, my past is Evergreen grad Robert Franks signed a 10-day contract with the Orlando Magic, and his first NBA field goal attempt on Monday night was a made three. He played 15 minutes, had four boards, an assist, and just one for one from the field. Developed into a great shooter at Washington State, so it's good to see another former Washington High School standout here from the Vancouver area making an impact in the NBA. So, as for present, O'Day running back Jason Brown. He's a freshman. He ran for two touchdowns and about 214 yards on 22 carries to beat Eastside Catholic in the Metro League semis last week. That's a rivalry game, and it's among the most, probably the most decorated rivalry in this state. I don't think it's particularly close. But for two programs that were looking to replace some key playmakers, it's pretty impressive that they found both Eastside and O'Day found, you know, really good freshmen in the backfield. Eastside and Terry Latin Henley, who's a name to look out for years to come. And Jason Brown here, who at the beginning of the year didn't really see many carries. Todd, you covered that first game where Eastside shut him out 20-0. And one of your takeaways, you know, frankly, was look, they need that burst. They need that speed that Cam Daniels provided in 2019. And Jason Brown was just right there all along and has really answered the call. So looking forward to seeing what he does against Seattle Prep this week. So shout out to Jason Brown, who I got to say, colleges are paying attention. He got that UW offer last week as a freshman, as a ninth grader. And right after his 50-yard touchdown run to seal the win, I tweeted out the video. And not long after, Jimmy Lake, head football coach at UW, follows me on Twitter. So you know colleges are paying attention. Great start to his high school career this spring. And boy, what a great young core of underclassmen running backs across the state.
Hey, bonus.
Yeah.
I got a bonus one.
Yeah, hey,
we're going to mention Robert Franks. We got to mention Isaiah Thomas getting back into the NBA.
Oh, good, yeah,
for him, New Orleans.
Absolutely.
100%. So signing the contract. So I'd feel bad if we didn't get him included if we're talking Robert Franks. But good news for Isaiah getting back in the NBA.
Those are two great calls, Robert Franks. Yeah, that made three was great to see. But he's acting like he's a vet already. He hits the three and then he goes back running down court with the three fingers. Like, holy cow, that's your first NBA bucket. I don't know about that celebration. That's like you've done it for 6 or 7 years. I do have to call that part out. But then, yes, Isaiah Thomas getting back. That's a great call, Todd. That is 100% true. He's been through a lot with his rehab, and to see him back is great.
Yeah, tell that to the Lakeland Magic, where Robert Franks has been averaging more than 12 points a game all season in the G League. No, but point well taken. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Thank you, the listener, for tuning in. We'll be back next week as usual. And until then, you can find us on scorebooklive.com/Washington and the SB Live Sports app, your home for Washington High School sports, news, and information. For SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, I'm Andy Buehler. They are Dan Dickow and Todd Millis. We'll be back next week. This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. And thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Buehler. I'm Andy Buehler. We'll be back next week.